Okay, so today we're diving into something kind of different.
Okay.
We're scrolling through, like, imagine a friend's blog, right,
Yeah.
from like the last year,
Mm-hmm.
and they're writing about AI, but like their thoughts are evolving, you know? Like, you see the practical stuff,
Yeah.
the weird stuff, the philosophy.
Oh, cool.
And that's what we're doing today, but with blog posts from Peter Name.
I like this. So it's like we're getting a front row seat
Yeah.
to like his thought process as AI just like blows up.
Exactly. And he starts strong,
Okay.
like way back in October 2023. He's already imagining these AI assistants that we can just trigger with a phrase, you know, just like
Wow.
super easy. And it's funny because this is like months before
Right.
the big players are launching their versions.
Totally.
But he's already anticipating this like need for frictionless interaction, you
It's
know?
like he's like ahead of the curve.
Yeah. He even complains about like, oof, having to pull out his phone
Yeah,
for
right.
every little thing.
Yeah.
So it makes you wonder, right?
Yeah,
Like,
for sure.
is our desire for convenience
Right.
sometimes like
Outpacing.
outpacing good design?
Yeah, 100%.
And that's a question he gets into even more in January of 2024, where he's
Yeah.
like, are we headed for lazier UX UI
Oh, interesting.
because of AI?
Wow.
Like, will the priority be just a smooth experience
Yeah.
over an interface that's actually,
Well designed.
well designed?
That's such a good
And
question.
it's a big question for anyone in tech, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
It's like, just because we can make tech disappear
Right.
behind this like seamless AI
Right.
doesn't mean we always should, right?
Exactly, yeah. And he has this great analogy. He talks about a restaurant menu.
Oh, I like where this is going.
Sometimes, like, you know, seeing all the options laid out, it can spark an idea that you wouldn't have had otherwise, right?
Definitely.
So yeah, I thought that was interesting.
It's like, are we limiting our choices by
Yeah.
always just going with like the most statistically likely
Right,
path that the
exactly.
AI is going to give us?
Precisely. And that kind of leads into his next big concern
Okay.
in February 2024, which is personalized AI
Okay.
trained on our data.
Which is like
Super
exciting,
exciting.
but also a little
Yeah.
creepy.
A little creepy. Yeah, he uses the metaphor of an iceberg.
Oh, okay.
The tip is the data we see, we
Right.
manage,
Yeah.
but that massive chunk below the surface,
Right.
that's where things get a little murky.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where, as more companies
Right.
sort of tap into that,
That unseen data.
that unseen data, that's where ownership and misuse become even bigger questions.
For sure. And you can totally see Peter grappling with this,
Yeah.
especially in light of Apple Photos finally rolling out object recognition
Oh, yeah.
in February of 2024,
Yeah.
which, you know, Google Photos has had for almost a decade.
It's almost funny.
I know, right?
It's like not all new tech is actually new.
Right, exactly. And it shows you have to understand the history of technology.
Yeah.
Sometimes what takes center stage
Yeah.
isn't the most groundbreaking thing, but it's the thing that arrives at the right time
Oh, totally.
with the right marketing
For sure.
for the right market.
100%.
You know?
So true. So true.
Yeah.
But getting back to Peter's journey, right?
Okay.
So we're like thinking about the implications of AI assistance.
Yep.
He throws this curveball
Okay.
in November 2023,
Okay.
where he dives into AI's impact on content creation, and he does not hold back.
All right.
He is concerned about AI being trained on clickbait, trolling, all the worst.
Right.
He even uses this phrase. He's like, are we feeding our AI kids junk food?
Oh, wow. I like that.
It's such a funny image, but it like really underscores a serious point, right?
Yeah.
Like, are we setting AI up to like perpetuate the worst parts of the internet?
Exactly. And it's not just the quality.
Right.
It bleeds into this, like, this fear
Yeah.
of the loss of creativity,
Totally.
critical thinking.
Yeah.
He's worried about a future that's filled with just like statistically average content
Right.
that doesn't have any real insight.
And that takes us to an even deeper question that he poses that same month, where he's like, are we just sophisticated wetware processing information?
No.
Or is there something inherently different about human
I
intelligence?
mean, wetware? That's a new one.
Right.
Okay, so like wetware just means.
It's just a fancy way of saying the human brain
I see.
as a biological computer.
Got it.
But it's in that post where he like moves beyond the practical implications of AI and into like
the philosophical.
He even wonders if AI can ever truly achieve what he calls dot connecting.
Oh, okay.
Which is that like uniquely human ability to make novel and insightful connections?
That's a good question.
It's a question that lingers, right?
Totally. And it becomes even more relevant, I think, when you get to his next post.
Okay.
In December of 2023.
Okay.
Which is about AI-generated fake content.
Yeah. And he even shares this video of himself speaking fluent Korean.
Oh, wow.
Which, of course, he's never learned.
Right.
It's a chilling example of like how this can be misused. You know?
Yeah, it's like right when you think you've got a handle on the implications, he pulls you deeper.
Right.
It's no wonder he starts calling for regulation around this time.
Yeah. He even suggests this idea of like stamping AI content so you can trace it.
Oh, interesting.
It's like he's anticipating those exact concerns pop up in the Argentinian elections.
Oh, good.
Just a few months later in 2024, remember all those AI faked videos?
Oh, yeah, they were
going around?
Totally, totally.
It's like, it's almost eerie how much he predicted some of this stuff.
Oh, it is, yeah.
And then he takes us down another really fascinating path.
Okay.
Which is this legal battle brewing between Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, wow.
And OpenAI.
Okay.
In May of 2024.
Okay.
And this is where the implications of AI get very real for. Like
artists and creators.
He really dives into this lawsuit.
Yeah.
Highlighting how, you know.
Like what's.
A human mimicking her voice is one thing, but AI doing it
at scale. Oh, yeah.
Opens up a whole new can of worms.
That's a whole different ballgame.
It's like, are we entering a world where AI can like
not just replicate
voices, but personalities, you know?
Yeah. And that's the question he's wrestling with.
Yeah.
It's even like, is the AI sentient?
Right.
Does it think, if it thinks it is, does that even matter?
Right. Like, whoa.
I know.
That's getting into some heavy stuff.
Deep, deep philosophical questions.
And then he makes this fascinating comparison between a ChatGPT 4 Omni and the Rabbit R1 in June of 2024.
Okay.
So for those who aren't familiar, the Rabbit is this AI-powered device, but it's designed to be more of an autonomous agent.
Okay.
Whereas ChatGPT is more about like
multimodal understanding.
Multimodal, the content generation. It's more about like understanding, and the other's about doing.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. And he's really highlighting.
So like the different ways AI is being developed.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, is this going to be a tool?
Right. Exactly.
Or is this going to be an independent actor in the world?
Will it have agency?
Yeah. And he doesn't shy away from the downsides.
Yeah.
He brings up Google Assistant.
Okay.
Which started with so much promise.
Right.
But then like all these issues with safety.
Totally.
And reliability. It's that classic, like, how do you balance
convenience with control?
With control.
Yeah.
And you can sense his like apprehension about rushing into a future where these AI agents are like
Making decisions for us
without the proper like safeguards in place.
100%.
And it makes you wonder, right?
Yeah.
Like with all this talk about like AI doing this and AI doing that, are we like sacrificing something?
About ourselves.
About ourselves, yeah.
Potentially.
And that's the point he makes in another post where he's reflecting on information overload.
Okay.
He even compares like constant podcast listening
to
consuming at 2x speed.
Right.
And he's like, maybe we need of what he calls 0x speed.
I love that. 0x speed.
Where our minds can actually like
process
and synthesize.
And synthesize all this stuff.
Yeah.
That we are just like, you know, shoving in our ears.
Totally.
All the time.
Yeah. He's really highlighting the importance of reflection, downtime.
Yeah.
In a world that's obsessed with constant consumption.
All the time.
Yeah.
Which circles back to his point about AI potentially, like
making it worse.
Making it worse, yeah.
Right.
I mean, remember that term he used?
What was it? LLMAO?
LLMAO. Oh my gosh, yes.
Which sounds ridiculous.
Yeah.
But it stands for LLM Attribution Optimization.
Oh, right.
Which sounds complicated.
It does sound complicated.
But it's actually kind of a simple shift.
Oh.
He's saying, look, Google built its empire on understanding search intent But what happens when AI tools, like ChatGPT, become the go-to for information?
I see where you're going with this.
Instead of keywords and backlinks.
It shifts.
Yeah, the focus shifts to...
To like LLMs being judged on...
LLMs being judged on whether they can provide...
Good attribution.
Good attribution.
Your source material.
Yeah, all that good stuff.
That's a really interesting point.
It's like, think about the early days of the internet.
Oh, yeah.
When Yahoo was trying to like...
Manually categorize websites.
Manually categorize websites. And then Google came along with its algorithm.
Right, and then blew them out of the water.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's like, is history repeating itself?
With AI.
With AI?
Oh, that's an interesting question.
Yeah. And while that might seem good on the surface, he's like, is something lost?
Yeah.
He compares AI-generated summaries
to like
to bee's honey.
Oh, okay.
It's like, it's refined, it's palatable,
yeah,
but it's lacking the like the raw complexity.
Of the original nectar.
Of the original nectar, yeah.
Oh, I like that.
Right.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder, are we like sacrificing depth?
For convenience.
For convenience and speed.
Right. And he gets at this, I think, when he talks about AI potentially. Like amplifying existing biases.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. And this is a huge one.
Yeah.
And it goes back to, remember how he was talking about...
Feeding our AI kids.
Yeah.
A diet of clickbait and trolling.
Yes.
Like what we choose to feed these models will ultimately shape the information ecosystem they create.
Exactly. Exactly. It's like we're setting the menu for our AI kids. And if it's all junk food.
Right. Garbage in, garbage out.
It's like, what are they going to grow up to be?
Exactly. Which is why he's saying, like, it's so important to feed them.
Diverse, representative perspective.
Yeah.
If it's all just, like, the most
common,
attention-grabbing stuff.
You're just going to get more of the same.
Right.
Which he even experiments with this himself.
Oh, really? How so?
He shares this blog post.
Okay.
That was almost entirely written by AI.
Wow.
And he prompted the AI with this question.
Okay. What was the question?
He said, the icon for AI assistant buttons in many applications is a twinkling star.
Tell me how the song Twinkle Twinkle Little Star embodies the current ethos and sentiment towards AI assistants.
I love that. That's so clever.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So, like, what did the AI come up with?
I'm curious.
It was actually, like, surprisingly insightful.
Really?
It drew all these parallels between, like, the wonder and mystery of stars and the potential of AI.
Interesting.
But it still lacked that, like...
That personal touch.
That personal touch, you know,
right.
And it's a good reminder that, like...
Yeah, that AI can, like...
AI can mimic... human-like text, but it's still struggling
to replicate like the full complex.
Replicate, that full human thought,
right?
Emotion, all of it.
Thought and emotion,
And that kind of leads us back to that fundamental question, right? Like, can AI ever truly be
sentient?
Sentient,
right.
And he revisits this.
He does
throughout his blog posts. He even like draws these parallels to his philosophy classes.
Oh wow!
On personhood.
That's getting deep.
And you can tell he's like...
Really wrestling with this.
Really wrestling with it.
Like,
is there a definitive answer?
Right, exactly.
And he doesn't necessarily find one.
Okay.
But he offers this really like thought-provoking suggestion.
Okay, what's that?
He uses the example of like a child learning about the world through interaction and play.
Okay.
And he suggests that maybe...
Maybe AI needs that.
AI needs similar experiences.
Right.
To develop a sense of self.
To like... Understand the world and understand itself.
Yeah. So instead of just like, you know, force feeding it.
Force feeding it information.
Yeah. Create like an environment.
Create an environment where it can like.
Where it can like learn organically like, and experiment.
Experiment and learn organically. And he even goes on to question.
Like what's he question?
If the Turing test is even still relevant.
It's interesting.
You know?
Yeah.
Because like. The Turing test was this, like, you know.
Right. The classic test of machine intelligence.
Machine intelligence. Can it imitate a human well enough to fool another human?
Right. Exactly.
But now he's like, well.
But what happens when AI can just do that?
What happens when AI can just do that?
Right.
Like, maybe our definition of intelligence needs to evolve, too.
Totally.
Right.
Yeah. 100%. And this leads us to. Another like crucial part of his AI journey, which is his exploration
of what?
Of unseen data. It's like he's saying there's this whole like other dimension of data.
Right.
Like the
like the submerged part of the iceberg.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That AI is starting to access.
Totally. And with that access comes a whole new set of challenges, right?
Totally.
He points out that like companies like OpenAI are building these massive data sets.
Right.
But they're often from sources that aren't like
publicly available.
Publicly available, yeah.
So it's like, how do we even know
exactly
it's in there?
And who gets to decide how that data is used?
Right. And like, what are the consequences?
He even draws a parallel to like Spotify facing legal challenges.
Right.
For streaming music.
Right.
Without proper rights.
So he's saying OpenAI might be in the same boat.
Potentially, yeah.
Wow.
Because they're using all this data
right.
that like they don't necessarily have like
the rights to.
The rights to,
yeah. It's like he's predicting the future or something.
That really makes you think, right?
Yeah. And then it gets even more interesting because he connects this to like the potential for misuse.
Oh, God.
Because if AI is only as good as the data it's trained on,
right?
And that data is being collected in ways we don't even understand.
Exactly.
It could have huge implications.
Huge.
But he doesn't just, like, leave us hanging.
Oy.
He actually proposes some solutions.
Oh, really? Like what?
Like, remember that idea of, like, stamping AI-generated content?
Right, right, right. So we can trace it.
Yes, exactly. So we can trace it back.
To the source.
To the source and be like, okay, is this legit?
Right. And it could help with misinformation,
yeah.
you know?
For sure.
Intellectual property rights.
Totally. Although, I mean. It
would be complicated.
It would be super complicated to implement.
Yeah.
Because you'd need like.
You need everyone on board.
Everyone on board. Like the tech companies. The
policy makers.
The creators. Everyone.
Right. Exactly. It really shows.
Yeah.
That it's not just a tech issue.
Right.
It's a societal issue.
It's bigger than that.
Yeah.
Totally. And it's cool because he's not just thinking about the theoretical stuff.
Right.
He's also thinking about like.
The practical implications.
Yeah. Like how do we actually deal with this?
Yeah.
So it's not like he's anti-AI.
Right.
He just wants us to, like...
approach it with our eyes open.
Yes. Like, proceed with caution.
Exactly.
He even says, like, businesses need to be careful about jumping on the AI bandwagon.
100%.
And, like, think carefully about, like...
what their actual needs are.
What they're trying to achieve.
Yeah.
And, like, is AI really the solution for that?
Totally. And what I love is, like,
he's,
like, even he feels overwhelmed sometimes.
I think we can all relate to that.
Right. And he's like all about the tech.
Yeah, exactly. And he's like, I need a break.
Exactly.
It's too much.
It's too much. Yeah, yeah. Which is why he's such a proponent of.
Xerox speed.
Xerox speed.
Yeah.
Those moments of like.
Disconnecting.
Just disconnecting.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it's like you just get totally swept up.
You get swept up. And then what are we even doing?
Right. Like, what are we even doing here?
Exactly. And then he makes this really interesting point.
Okay.
Towards the end.
Yeah.
In one of his last posts from September 2024,
okay,
he starts talking about AI agents,
okay,
not just as like helpful assistants,
right, right,
but as like potentially changing how we interact with technology.
Interesting. Okay.
Like he paints this picture of this future where these AI agents are like.
Doing everything.
Doing everything. Like, you know, imagine an AI that just like.
That'd be amazing.
Fills out all your school forms.
Right.
Contacts the doctor's office.
Oh, wait.
Gets all the documents.
Signing me up.
Right. But then he flips it and he's like, but what happens when it makes a mistake?
Oh.
Who's responsible then?
Right. Yeah.
You know, like, are they acting in our best interest? It's like,
yeah.
It's that balance again.
Right.
Of the convenience.
Right.
Versus like. The control.
The control and the ethics.
And the ethics.
Yeah.
And that's what's so great about his whole perspective.
That's that.
It's not just blind optimism. It's
right.
not doom and gloom.
He's just like asking the real questions.
Yeah. He's like, let's ask the tough questions.
Yeah.
Have the nuanced conversations.
Be thoughtful.
Be thoughtful about this.
Yeah.
So it's more than just the summary of his thoughts.
Right.
It's like a call to action. To be like... active participants.
Engaged.
Engaged in shaping this future.
100%. I love that.
And on that note.
Yes.
We want to hear from you.
Okay.
What would you ask Peter Nam?
That's a good question.
What resonated with you?
Yeah.
Let us know.
Let's keep this conversation going.
Share your thoughts online using hashtag the deep dive.
Yes.
And until next time.